yeah, my screen name. Yeah. Had to change it.
Cause I just wanted to know who you are, you know.
Yeah.
Welcome back to another good episode of Comedians in Bed, man. And you know, this is where, you know, comedians can come be comedians. I don't really know what that means, but it sounds nice to say on a podcast. Back with another great guest. I said it again, another great host. Back with another great guest, man. Been blowing it up down in the Cincinnati scene. And right now he's taking his talents all the way up to Chicago. He's been doing his thing, man. We got to give it up for my man, Carter Dougherty, everybody.
What up?
What's going on, man? How you feeling?
Fantastic. How are you doing today?
I'm feeling good, man. You out in Chicago now?
Yep. I'm more like I'm so far out from the city though. I'm like, my girlfriend goes to med school in Gary, so
okay, we're living
far south side.
Oh, is that why you guys I moved out there?
Yeah, definitely wasn't my talents carrying us.
Oh, well, that was nice. That was nice. You moved for your girl. Oh, you really love her.
Yeah, and also Chicago is good for comedy.
Facts.
I don't know what would have happened if she was going to St. I don't know.
were you nervous when you went out there?
No. I mean, a little bit, like, because I didn't have any money. It's hard to get a job.
Yeah. No, I definitely understand that. What are you working out? Are you like serving still or?
Yeah, I'm serving at a restaurant. Like 20 hours a week.
I'm jealous of servers. I think I might apply once and I didn't get on and I was like, all right, this not meant for me.
Yeah, I'm not a very I'm not like good at the talking one-on-one with the people. So that's the hard part about serving, but it's honestly, once you have like the 10 lines that you do, it's pretty easy after that. And it's the only job that like lets you call off like that week, the week of, and like you can just have somebody sub in for you easily. I feel like you can't do that with a desk job.
What's what's your 10 lines?
Oh, my big one, because I'm a lunch server. I'll come up to tables after, like when they're done with their food. I'm like, so round of shots, that, and that gets them laughing. The old people love that one. That's the thing about old people that I really like serving, because they always have they have lines that they all like use, and I feel like younger people don't have like these old people at the table, like they were doing beers for lunch, and I go, can I get you another one? He was like, yeah, I think my last one had a hole in it. You owe me another one. And I just like, they're so quick with them. They had a bunch of them. I never joke around like that when I'm getting lunch. I feel like it's a fun thing to do.
That's pretty bad. How's it? Mm-hmm. How's it like how's the customers different out there as opposed to in Cincinnati?
Well, in Cincinnati, I just worked at Go Bananas, so it was like just, I don't know, minimal interaction with the people when you're a comedy club server. You don't have to talk to the people, so I never really got to, never really had to do the talking part. But I do it a lot in Chicago, and I'm working in a really uppity area. I'm working like downtown, and so it's like all the business people, and then some tourists. I've had a lot of international people. I don't care for French people at all. They've been like the worst people that come through. They demand so much, and then they just don't tip. Yeah, and then I don't know. I found out like everybody hates French people because I told them, I told like the rest of my coworkers that I had French people that didn't tip, and they were like, the fucking French, man. I never knew of that, like people hated the French.
I never knew neither, man. They make good fries.
I don't think they invented the fries.
Okay, that was just corny then. All right.
I think French fries was invented in America.
That would be so American.
Mm-hmm.
That would be so American.
How's Columbus comedy been?
It's the same.
It's the same.
Yeah,
it's there's a lot of good shows out there.
Yeah, I meant to ask. I meant to come to your show when you went, where you were at the Attic. How did that go?
Oh, that went pretty well. Like it was put on with like just like 4 days notice, so you know, decent amount of tickets were sold. And then I had like a few people on. Like I had all the staff at the Attic on, Bo and Riley, and then Josh Osani did a spot, Simon Fraser, and then Dino Nick Higdon and Spencer DeMolke out of Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
They did spots as well. They're really funny.
How did you like the club? A lot of people, like when I go out of town, they'll ask me about it, but I never see people make their way up here for it. How did you like it?
Oh, I really dig it. I've been there like a few times. I've done like Neff's show on Thursday there, and then I did like Simon Fraser's show one time there.
Okay.
Yeah, that place is really cool. It's a really good setup for a room.
Yeah. Have you been to the Commonwealth before you left?
No, I've actually never been there. I'm gonna go there in like April.
Okay. Yeah, I was talking to Josh, and he was telling me about one of your reels. Big numbers.
Yeah, that one. That one's I don't know. It's so funny what goes viral.
A million?
It's at like 2 million on TikTok, and then it's at like 10 million on Instagram, which is pretty sick.
How did you handle all the new followers, all the new comments, and just all the new attention being voted to IG?
Luckily, I mean, I was sitting on my phone a lot because I was just kind of looking at the numbers the whole time. It's very addictive. And then luckily there were so many comments that like I couldn't even really read them. So I didn't read anything, and I just didn't really care to look at that. But I responded to like everybody that DM'd. But I got like no hate DMs, only good ones. And then I liked like everybody that put it up on their story. But other than that, I don't know. It didn't really do that much though. Like I feel like it doesn't really matter going viral at this point in comedy. Because it's not like I can really headline or anything right now.
Right.
I guess it's just good to get some followers right now for when comedy gets bigger. But yeah,
I was talking to him about it because one of my videos did good numbers. It's like 500,000, and he told me about your video, and I was like, oh, okay. So then I started to look at your real numbers and things like that. And I was just wondering like your experience, because then when mine has happened, I realized I was looking at my phone a lot more than I usually would.
I definitely was doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Like I didn't necessarily like care for like, you know, like the comments. I only responded back, not right away, but like weeks later, days later, like just to keep it going in the algorithm. So I would, instead of like getting mad, just be like, I don't know this person. So I just say something like funny back, you know, something smart back. I ain't never hit like a couple million. So I was like, what's that, you know, dopamine rush like?
Yeah, I guess I would be psyched if I was trying to sell tickets, but I don't really do anything. Like everything I do is just opening for people that sell tickets.
Yeah, that was my thing. I was like, I just want, just let the follower count go up so I could just look nice for Booker.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I feel like it'll matter later, like in like 4 years. Yeah. So I've been doing comedy for about like 4.5 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm definitely going to try to do so. Like, I'm going to try to start a podcast just to, like, do something that, like, you keep, because I don't want to just keep posting stand-up clips. I don't care for people that post, like, clips all the time of stand-up, because then they usually resort to, like, lazy stuff. So I just want to put stuff out every once in a while.
I never looked at it that way. I'll always be like, I notice like if I'm not putting out enough stand-up clips and I'll be like, okay, I need to hurry up and go get one. I don't feel like I'd be like in a rush or thirsty for one, but
I never thought of it like
the way you said, like, give. I mean, I do give people like different tastes, but I never like consciously thought about it, I guess.
Well, you were asking about the dopamine rush. I feel like some people have that from like getting viral reels that like then their stand-up turns into them just like fishing a table for like a crowd work moment to post. Yeah. Like, so they'll just literally go from table to table being like, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? Until like the crowd gives them something wild that they can post. And then it's just like, that kind of ruins a comedy show. That's not fun.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like that, and that's half the clips that you see, or like people just start posting clips of like them messing up a word and then being like, wasn't that stupid? And then everybody's like, that they post it just to like have posted a clip since it's Monday. that's I don't know. You should like wait until something pretty cool happens, or like you write a really good joke. You shouldn't post because like you're like, I have to hit the algorithm this week.
Yeah, as much as I strive to hit the algorithm, I'll be like, I just want to take a nap today. So I'm gonna get off.
Yeah, that, and also just like you should be doing stand up to have like the best sets. Like to be like as funny as possible when you're on stage, not to get famous.
Yeah.
Cause like some people like, it's so fun. I feel like it's really silly when people do comedy to like be famous. Cause there's like 5 comedians that people know. I think like you should do it to get really good at it. Cause odds are like success is like being broke the whole time you do it.
What's your why for doing comedy?
Cause it's really like, I really enjoy being on stage and have a good time doing it. If that wasn't the case, then it like being famous, there's way better ways to do it than stand-up comedy. Stand-up comedy is kind of like, I don't know. It takes a long time to get any kind of success. What about you? What's your why for doing stand-up comedy?
Shoot, man. That's, I don't know, it's weird. I read books, and like I've been reading this book. Usually, I can read a book in a month, but this book is—I just been sitting with it for a while. I really just feel like when I do comedy, I can like let my inner child play. Like I just feel like I'm just up there, like really being myself and not like getting in trouble for it. I guess like in grade school, I got in trouble for like just being a class clown a lot, and it's like now I can like be myself with like no repercussions, like, and I just love that, like just being my authentic self, really. Like I think that sometimes like early on I would get frustrated, like that wasn't full time, but I just didn't understand the rules and things like that. But I think I was more so frustrated because I was just being stuck at a desk, and I'm like, this just isn't me. But you just gotta like be patient with the journey and just like, you know, it'll come.
I understand that fully, the like being frustrated with because stand-up, like, serving every day is so annoying to go in there. Like, I used to really enjoy it in Cincinnati, like, because I worked at Go Bananas. So I was like, at least I'm, like, helping make a place, like, a comedy club. But now I'm just serving at a annoying-ass restaurant to work at. I mean, it's, like, a regular restaurant job. But it's, like, it's hard to care about it when, like, you're, like, not in a job that you're passionate about. So like, I don't know. That's why I couldn't imagine doing a desk job. Cause like, what are you, 40 hours a week?
Yeah. No, it's difficult, but it's super easy. Cause I really don't do much. So
yeah,
I just be like, I don't got to answer no phones. I don't got to do none of that. So I just be
and
like,
and that paycheck every 2 weeks, like is consistent serving. Like it's up and down.
You never, dumb question, you never thought about serving at a comedy club up there?
I have, but in all honesty, like now like Go Bananas was good when I was there because I wasn't working as much as I do now. With how much I do stand up like on the weekends, I wouldn't be able to make enough money working. Like I would be able to work like one day a week at a comedy club. Yeah. Whereas now I'm serving lunch, so I'm working 4 days a week.
Yeah, yeah. Do you plan on coming back or you plan on staying up there?
Staying up here, my girlfriend has 4 years of med school and it's going pretty well up here. I definitely like I want to get to the point of like trying to do other things to make a living. But yeah. I think it takes a long time to do the stand up full time.
Yeah.
Like I feel like the funniest people I know, like in Cincinnati, like Rand, Barnacle, and Blake Hammond, like neither of them are technically full time. And they're like what I would strive to be in 8 years of stand up, you know?
For sure. Yeah, I'm in no, not saying that you are, but I'm just saying like, early on I was in such a rush. I'm not in no rush. Like,
how long have you been doing stand-up?
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah. And someone told me that like, I forget who it was. I think it was Brian Melia. Tell me like, think of how many years you've been doing comedy is how old you are. So once I put it into that perspective, I was like, you got a lot to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It does feel like I've been doing comedy for forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe because just the repetition of doing it like every night.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's, I don't know. You start early or late 2019?
Late October.
So like you did it just for a little bit for before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that was like a weird time to come back at.
But oh, yeah.
In Columbus especially, because I feel like there wasn't much going on around Columbus early. Because I remember a lot of Columbus people coming down to Cincinnati to the mics in like 2021.
Yeah. And I was on them because they were back open like 2020 of August of 2020.
Oh, really? I just remember Shayna and
Halima. It was only one mic though at the time. And then over time, it got back up. But like things ain't get rocking and rolling probably back till about February, April of 21. So it took a while.
Yeah, but now Columbus is really popping with the Attic, Don't Tell, the Funny Bone Rules.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of opportunities in Columbus, it seems. Like, I come back to Columbus frequently.
Yeah. Now, you've been doing your thing up there. You got Tuesday Jokes. Is that something that was already established in Chicago, or is that something you put together when you got there?
That's something I put together because when I was in Cincinnati, I had like a similar show that was every Tuesday at a coffee shop / wine bar. And literally next to where I serve, there's a coffee shop / wine bar. And I just got coffee there and then talked to the manager one day. And it started like after I'd lived there for like a month. And this is like week 20. That's what I'm going to go do after this. I actually got a new speaker for the show tonight.
Has it been helping you networking and learning the scene and getting to know the comics?
Yeah. I don't know. Chicago, of course. Like, I feel like at any big city is a little spot trady. Like, you know, a lot of people here produce shows so they can get on other shows. And I don't know. I've made it to the point where I've had so many people on. Because it's like four comics, different comics every week that like now I just keep like now I can like reuse a lot of people because like they did well. And then the audience is always like half new, half old people that like have been to the show before. So you can have people on frequently because it's a lot of fresh audience members. And like I host it 9 weeks out of 10. I've had like guest hosts when I'm out of town and stuff. But other than that, yeah, I'm there every Tuesday.
How was that like? Were you intimidated by building your own show so quickly, or you was like, I just need a spot?
No, well, that's the main reason for using it, is like I just do my new stuff every week, and like I'll do like old jokes to start it off, new jokes in the middle, and then old jokes to close it. But like, just because open micing in a big city is so brutal sometimes, and I'd rather like guarantee myself an audience every Tuesday to like work on the new stuff. And I don't know, it's hard to dedicate time to go do an open mic, and plus an open mic you have to be around sometimes like a lot of people you don't want to talk to that day. And so when you have a show, you can pick the people that are going to be around you that day, which I really like that part.
Well, how has the transition been getting into this new bigger scene?
Honestly, like, Cincinnati is just such a supportive scene that like I made a lot of close friends so quickly there. Like, I don't know, you get ingratiated into like Go Bananas and all that stuff very quickly in Cincinnati. It's a really good comedy scene for that reason. In Chicago, like, there's just so much comedy happening that there isn't like a central hub to go hang and like, I don't know, meet everybody, because you go to Go Bananas on the weekend to hang out. There's every comedian in the scene that's not on the road that weekend is at the club hanging out in Chicago. I don't know, there's like four different clubs having shows every night, and you like different people are at different ones. So like I haven't met half the comedians in Chicago. But, you know, I've made good friends with the people that are, like, in the circles that I'm in. But there's just so many comedians here that it's hard to meet everybody so quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Does that intimidate you, like, mm-hmm. as far as, like, you getting a spot to make you work harder?
Yeah, it's hard because, like, the idea of getting spots is, it's really frustrating. To have to like message a comedian, because you like you don't want to annoy somebody. In Cincinnati, it was you would never message somebody to get on an independent show, because they know who you are and you'll eventually get on, because they put every good comedian on the show eventually. But in Chicago, it's you either have to reach out or you're gonna get overlooked, and that's a learning curve, is like it's not looked down upon to hit up other comedians for shows in Chicago. But I still I don't know, I envy the idea, like you really like the idea of getting passed at a club or something like that, to where you can just message a booker once a month and they give you consistent dates. But in Chicago, there's so much, like even the shows at comedy clubs are produced by comedians. And it's like independent shows. So like, I don't know, you have to be constantly hitting people up to get on stuff here. So I got to get better at that.
That's exciting though. If you really think about it, like this is forcing you to grow.
Yeah, I guess that's growth.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah. I feel like Columbus is kind of big too, of a scene. Like a lot of people, like there's different parts of the scene in Columbus. There's like the improv people,
yeah.
that like yeah. do stand up, but they're not like, I don't know, part of the regular scene.
Yeah,
I don't know, I guess every scene has their little divisions.
Yeah, man, it's a solid scene, man. It's a solid scene, mm-hmm. for sure. Okay, that's what's up, man. I knew you when I seen you do it. I saw you with the show. I thought it was something that you kind of put together, but I wasn't for sure. So that's what's up.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah, man. Going there, yeah. Making your own way. That's what's up.
I'm excited to. Hopefully, this new speaker is good tonight. I got a brand new.
Always the speakers, man. Always the speakers.
Yeah, well, it's a coffee shop, you know. Yeah. So it's like I have to go in there, set everything up like by hand. So it's a little pretty DIY setup.
That's what's up. That's what's up. That is what's up. As we start to wrap this thing up here, who is on your Mount Rushmore for comedians?
Ooh, comedians. Louis C.K. is up there. Shane Gillis. Joe List. Probably like Nate Bargatze.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's probably my. Who's on yours?
Martin Lawrence.
Martin Lawrence.
Yeah, Martin Lawrence. David A. Arnold. Dion Cole. And Arnaz J.
I just realized I had an all white Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, that's why I was laughing.
Yeah, so I'm gonna change Nate Bargatze for Chris Rock, so I can.
Because I was thinking of mine, I'm like, oh man, mine's is all black. All right.
I don't want to sound say I did say Chris Rock is one of my favorite comedians the other day, so I don't want to sound like I'm backtracking too hard.
I like,
Yeah, my like Mount Rushmore definitely doesn't include any ladies, though.
I like Taylor Tomlinson.
Tomlinson's pretty funny. My favorite lady comic. You shouldn't say lady comic. That's actually really my favorite woman comedian. Is probably Jordan Jensen.
Oh,
you seen her?
I have no idea who that is.
Jordan Jensen's very funny. She'll be around in Columbus, like headlining something. So definitely,
my fault. Go ahead.
Do you check out shows at like the Columbus Funny Bone often?
No, I don't.
Dude, you got to be around there. That's a very fun place to go see shows, to just hang out as a comedian.
Yeah, I don't think they be. From my experience, Let me see how I say this. I don't think they be like. Yeah, I'm a.
They don't want people to hang out.
I'm not gonna say they don't want you to hang out, but it's like if you don't hang out around enough, they don't know you're a comedian. So it's kind of like, why are you here? But it's like I'm a comedian. But I don't know. I just don't agree. I feel like everybody got their own life, and like, yeah, I want to be at the club, but like, I'm also out working, doing my own thing, like getting my.
Yeah.
You know, me just being at the club is not going to help, especially if
definitely. I was just saying that's where the A headliners go.
Oh no! I get what you're saying.
If you're trying to see like the top headliners,
I get what you're saying, and I agree. And I like if I see somebody, if it's somebody like I'm invested in or somebody I heard about, like I'll go. But I'm just saying, like in general, like around here, like it's not really like.
I would say go hang at the Don't Tells then. Those are
I do the Attic.
The Attic, yeah. The Attic is
awesome. there's a benefit. Whereas the Funny Bone is like they already got their people, so it's like
yeah.
You just going to watch, which is cool, but I also wanna like I can watch and talk to the people that was on the show, you know, kinda sorta.
Yeah. Yeah, I got really lucky with the Columbus Funny Bone.
You hosted there before?
Yeah, I'm hosting there in January again.
That's okay, who back. You hosted for?
Josh Blue.
Okay.
But I hosted in Cincinnati for Big J, and then he brought me to Columbus, and okay. So that's how I started doing the Columbus Funny Bone, and then they just booked me after that.
That's what's up.
I feel like that's how everything in comedy is just getting lucky with like one person seeing you.
Yeah. Bro, who was somebody? Oh, okay. One of the comedians I like is Marina Franklin.
I'm actually not familiar with Marina Franklin.
Yeah, she's from New York. She's pretty funny. Like she's very.
Is she current?
Yeah. Yeah. She has, I think her, I mean, it's been years, but she had a special out on Amazon Prime. I forget the name of it, but it's pretty funny. Like, she's like, she's very awkward on stage, but she, I don't know, it works for her. She's funny. Aretha Franklin. She's from New York. Yeah, she's pretty solid. I like her.
Okay.
After that, dang, what was the next question? Oh man, listen, I threw it all the way off. for anybody that's listening to this right now, what type of encouragement could you give them?
Comedy wise,
yeah, or life wise, but yeah,
I don't know. Keep working. I feel like a lot of people just eventually start doing the same thing over and over again, not like trying to aim for goals.
Yeah,
I don't know. Don't turn into a sad. Yeah, don't turn into a sad comedian.
What? Why should people tell people why they should listen to Comedians in Bed?
Because you have great guests on, like me, that are very entertaining to listen to. No further. Bong. Yeah,
I feel like this is like a radio show, and you're like a teenager that caught like sneaking in a car.
Honestly, yeah, I'm not. This is like, I'm not very good at pods, so I greatly apologize.
No, I wasn't saying like how you was answering questions. I was just saying like your voice.
Oh yeah, plus like I don't know, I'm. My girlfriend's in the rest of the apartment, so I went into the bedroom, and
yeah.
I felt like I would be more comfortable if I was laying down. I feel like I work today. My back hurts.
Carter, man, tell people where they can find you at, man.
All my socials are at Carter D Comedy. I have a podcast coming soon, title to be decided, but we're recording this week. And it should be really good. So if you thought I was freaking awesome on this podcast, check out my stuff. It's good.
Hit that subscribe button when it drops, baby. We drop us an episode every Tuesday on my YouTube channel at TYE Comedy. Once again, that's TYE Comedy at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time as well. If you want to check out weekly clips, you could do so by adding us on IG at Comedians in Bed Podcast. We have my man Carter on here today. Make sure you follow him on everything socials. See you guys next week.